All right, so turn to the book of Acts. If you're not there already, turn to Acts chapter 9. Listen to the kids, they're having fun. I tell my kids, I think you guys have more fun than me here. Gosh, not fair. All right, so Acts chapter 9, we're going to pick up at verse 28. Please stand with me if you're able to. We're going to read from 28 and on. Acts chapter 9, verse 28, it says, "So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Now it came to pass, as Peter went through all parts of the country, that he also came down to the saints who dwelt at Lydda. There he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, 'Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed.' Then he arose immediately. So all who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter rose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him, weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. Verse 40, but Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, 'Tabitha, arise.' And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up." Please pray with me. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time, and we thank you for these scriptures, Lord. We thank you for what you do show us, and how, I might say, ministry is caught more than taught. And we know that that's what happened with Peter. Lord, we do know that these principles still carry forth today. We might choose to call them discipleship in our families. Lord, we just call that raising our kids. And within your family, within your church, such as ours here, and globally around the world, we know that we need to see the examples from others. We need to learn by doing, and we need to learn from one another. So help us to do that here, Lord. Help us to see these principles and to extract them and to apply in our lives. Help us, Lord. And we do pray, Father, last but not least, that you, being the God of all comfort, can you please comfort the hearts that are here. Thank you for what you continue to do in our hearts and lives. Empower us, for we do pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. You guys could have a seat if you would, please. And so today I want to talk to you about how ministry is caught more than taught. Caught more than taught. I'm going to show you this here on the slides, on the display, that you can Google for this. I found this, I think it was in Wikipedia. But when it comes to how you and I learn, most of us know that, hey, if Jesus were just to tell you to listen to lectures or to go home and just read your Bible or go and watch a video and you'll learn all you need to know about ministry, you and I would know, no, that's not it. I need to learn a lot more. So even in this picture here, in this pyramid, so to speak, on the bottom, this is how we retain our learning. The bottom portion here in the red, this is receiving. This is the audio-visual, like watching a movie or seeing something. By reading, or by a lecture. Now, many of us have perhaps gone to classes, maybe you sit in a big lecture hall where there's maybe 500 students there, one person speaking, and you're sitting there and you're fighting, right? Fighting to stay awake. That happens here too at times, okay? But how many of us know that I'm not really learning too much by doing that? Is that any of you guys? Okay, that's the reality of it. Okay, learning by doing, which is at the top of this picture in this pyramid, is what it's all about. But by just watching someone or reading or by listening, we already know, statistics will show, you're going to retain only about 20% or less. Actually, many people say you retain about 10% of what you read. That's it. So maybe up to 20%, but that is it. But when it comes to experiential learning, which is at the top here, learning by doing, which is actually, guess who pioneered this method? God! He's the one that actually did. You find this in the Gospels. But experiential learning, or learning by doing, is far more efficient, way more efficient than just passive learning, like reading or listening. Now, this is not to say you shouldn't read your Bible. This is not to say you shouldn't listen to Bible studies. This is not to say that kids at home shouldn't listen to what others tell them to do, right? Oh, don't you remember the pyramid, Mom, Dad? I don't learn by that. Okay, take out the trash. Okay, you learn by doing, right? So by just watching, by just reading, or by just listening, you're not learning much. But no, when you actually get your hands dirty and you go and you do something and apply what you've learned, the learning curve goes way up. So if you're learning by hearing, but then there's also a demonstration, which you see here in the yellow, you're hearing it, which is the red, you're seeing it demonstrated, which is in the yellow, and then you go and do, what happens is that learning curve goes way up. Now, Jesus obviously knows this. We know this statistically. This isn't even a statistic from Christendom. This is how we learn, and many of us know this today when you study this as a science. But let me tell you, this is the ministry method of Jesus. So we'll get into this a little bit, but we see as this book of Acts, as it unfolds, I'm going to show a map here because we learn and we read some of the cities and all. We have now in this point in time, over here on the lower right where it says Jerusalem, many of you guys know this by how it looks on the map, but Peter now goes from this area of Jerusalem, and he's going to go towards the coast now. Actually, that's today, what do you call that area? You hear in the news all the time. That's the Gaza area, right? So Peter now travels to Lydda, and the tension shifts away from Paul that we opened up with here in chapter 9, now to Peter the Apostle. And he goes from Jerusalem. He's starting to spread out. He goes to this area called Lydda, which he travels to. He's used by God to help a man to get healed. This is a man that's been bedridden and paralyzed for 8 years. Now put yourself in those shoes, right? 8 years. Kind of without hope. Maybe after the first year. Second year. 8 years go by. Wow. He's paralyzed. So obviously, when this man gets healed, obviously, everybody hears about it. Not a normal, everyday occurrence, right? I don't know about you, but I don't think that happens every day in Queens, New York City. No. So it didn't happen every day. The good news, obviously, traveled around. And now we're going to see these two areas you can see with these dots. Lydda is where Peter's at now. And towards the coast now, this area named Joppa, which is very close. And meanwhile, in nearby Joppa, a woman named Dorcas dies. So the people there in Joppa, they go to Lydda to see Peter. What do you think they're asking him? Dude, you got to come. Imagine Peter. Put yourself in Peter's shoes now. Okay, God, I'm amazed that you used me for this guy to get healed. But these crazy people come and telling me some old lady died. I mean, what am I to do? There's a difference, right, between a healing and a resurrection. Anybody know that? We don't have to discuss the science behind that. So someone's dead. They're already laid in an upper room. Like, hey, I hear Peter's nearby. Go get him. He's just in the next town. So they go from Joppa to Lydda. Just put yourself in Peter's shoes. Right? This is the guy that, yeah, I'm going to chop off ears. I'm going to protect you, Jesus. He's very bold, but in his humanity, I would guess that he's probably sitting there thinking too, ooh, a little different than just praying for someone to get healed. A little different than just preaching a sermon. Someone's dead. Like, what do you do about that, right? And there's some time that transpires too between when this person dies. But as I share with you, today I want to talk to you about ministry is caught more than taught. The question, if you're looking and examining this, is how did Peter learn how to do this? This wasn't just an ordinary thing like he did with the disciples in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's not like what he was seen doing in the opening of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, where he's preaching. We can do that. We could even stumble through our words. But oh no, now I think Jesus is calling me to resurrect the dead. Whoa. That's a different territory there, isn't it? Now what do I do? But how did he learn this? It's because ministry is caught more than taught. Hey, you and I tend to copy what we see and what we, not just hear, what is demonstrated, and especially if we go do. But we don't see Peter actually doing this, like hands-on raising the dead. You don't find that in the Gospels where you have a story like this. But Jesus knew that ministry is caught more than taught. And don't you know that Jesus knew that Acts chapter 9 would be written, didn't he? So preemptively, you know what he did? We find in the Gospels that Jesus had to go and he didn't just preach a sermon. Remember on the triangle? Not just to hear. And in the yellow part, that second part of that triangle, he had to also demonstrate for Peter, didn't he? And we see a similar thing. I want you to tap into this. Turn in your Bibles, please, with me to Mark chapter 5. This might be something redundant for you. If it is, praise God, you know this. But my guess is many of us may not have figured this out, or maybe someone can be blessed by hearing this. So as we see what's going on here, in Mark chapter 5, I want you to go to verse 36. And check this out. Mark chapter 5, verse 36. This is when Jesus was walking the planet. Peter was with him. Mark 5, verse 36. Before Christ went to the cross, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler in the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." Now in the previous verse, we learned that this person had heard, the news came to him that his daughter was dead. And Jesus tells him, do not be afraid, only believe. So as a parent, you know that not only was he afraid, but you would be too. Only believe. Because this, remember, we're reading this, we know that Jesus can resurrect the dead, but they didn't at that time. You wouldn't hear about that. Verse 37, check this out. He permitted no one to follow him except, guess whose name is there? Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Verse 38. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. Now keep in mind, this is a child that had died. And you realize, okay, everybody obviously in shambles. Verse 39, when he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? This is Jesus. These are the words of Jesus. Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. Jesus just comes to the area with Peter, James, and John. People are weeping. They're wailing loudly. Why are you doing this? This child's not dead, but sleeping. Now, you're one in the crowd. Maybe you're one of the relatives. What would you be thinking when Jesus says words like that? Would that be offensive, maybe? Like, excuse me? She's not sleeping. I think I know the difference between sleeping and dead, sir. And no wonder, verse 40, it says, and they ridiculed him. Now, if you were in the crowd, not knowing this was going to happen, we would probably do the same, right? Would that be any of us? We would probably ridicule, like, what's he, get this guy out of here. But when he had put them all outside, listen to what's written and the order. When he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him, Who was with him? Peter, James, and John. And entered where the child was lying. Now, interesting. I might speculate and say, well, maybe it's good and it's strategic. You don't want anybody that lacks faith to be there, really someone that doesn't want to be there in a serious moment like that. So obviously take mom and dad. Also, just a practicality. It's good to take mom and dad. But why does he take Peter and James and John? I'll tell you why. Because ministry is caught more than taught. If he just went in and then came out with a child, the disciples and everybody else would be like, what? Right? They'd be freaking out. Today, you know what you and I would do? Everybody get out your phone. Streaming live. It'd just be a remarkable thing. But Peter, knowing that Peter would later on be doing what you and I call Acts 9, ministry is caught more than taught. That's why Jesus took Peter and James and John in. It's not just, hey, that was the holy trio. No, Jesus also knew later on, Peter and the disciples would be doing things like this. Verse 41, then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumai, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Look at what is being done by Jesus. Look at what is being said by Jesus. And look at the order that Jesus is doing this in. Because again, ministry is caught more than taught. You and I read this and we can be taught, but Peter had to experience this. Look at what's being said by Jesus. Look at what is being done. Look at the order. Verse 42, immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement, as would you and me, right? It's like, what? Especially mom and dad. Imagine that. It's like, how do you deal with those emotions? You already had closure because you're crying knowing your child, your baby at 12 years old, is dead. And all of a sudden, now she's alive. You're like, I don't know, to cry or laugh? What's going on? Imagine that. Great amazement. Verse 43, but he commanded them strictly that no one should know. This is the weird part. Don't tell anybody about this. Like, what? He commanded them strictly that no one should know it and said that something should be given her to eat. So we know, on the practical side, she wasn't just alive. She was hungry. Hey, give me something to eat. She's alive and well, right? You parents know that when your child is sick. You want to eat? No, I can't even hold down chicken soup, Mom. But this one, she's alive and hungry. All right. So, again, look at what Jesus said. Look at what he did and the order of what he did. And the fact that, verse 37, he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John. Why? Because Jesus understood ministry is caught more than taught. I'm going to give you another address. If you're taking notes, Paul also understood that ministry is caught. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. I'll say it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. Paul writes, therefore, I urge you, imitate me. The Greek word for imitate many times is mimetes. Mimic me. Mimetes me. Imitate me. Mimic me. Therefore, I urge you, mimetes, or imitate me. For this reason, I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. So Paul understood that ministry is caught more than taught. He couldn't just write the letter we call 1 Corinthians. For this reason, I'm sending you Timothy. Imitate me in my ways. But I can't be there, so I'm going to send someone that imitated me in my ways. And that principle of discipleship continues on. The tree becomes fruitful, it produces another tree, which becomes fruitful, and so on and so forth. That is what we call discipleship. Let's go back to Acts chapter 9. Again, ministry is caught more than taught. I'm going to leave this simple today. Let's go back to this story, though, of Peter now, and we see him in nearby Joppa. Notice this again, verse 40. Now, after we read what Jesus did in Mark chapter 5, notice again what is done and what is said and the order. Acts 9 verse 40, but Peter put them all out. The people are weeping over Dorcas that had died. She's laid in the upper room. Where do you think Peter learned that? He didn't read about it. Ministry is caught more than taught. I'm sure he remembered, wow, just like Jesus did, hey, I need to mimic that. And my point is this, we need to learn by example, and we need to learn by doing. God willing, we need to be able to see the example from one another. This is why I encourage you guys to sign up to serve. We could see, we get closer to one another, and we'll learn and we'll learn more, and the learning goes deeper and longer. So what we need to do is to be able to exemplify and see those examples and go, oh, that's how Jesus did it. I could read about it, but I also need to walk it out, right? So how did Peter know in verse 40, how did he know to put the people out? Was that just because Peter's a smart dude? No. Any wisdom that he has, it came from above, right? How did he know this? He didn't. But ministry is caught more than taught, so he remembered that just like Jesus did, what you and I call Mark chapter 5, just like Jesus did, let's put everybody outside. And he knelt down and prayed. What does this let you know about Mark chapter 5 and how Jesus raised a dead child? Chances are, Jesus also knelt down and prayed. Isn't that interesting? Because we see someone else mimetes, mimic, or imitate the method of Jesus. Now, I'm not saying if you're to go to someone's funeral, you can, if God gives you faith and he tells you what's going to happen, who knows? God's still alive and well today, amen? If he could do it through you, praise God. Okay? Maybe. But where did Peter learn to put the people out and then kneel down and pray? It was probably, well, this probably gives us an indication that that's probably what Jesus did when he raised a little child from the dead. He knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body, after praying, he said, Tabitha, arise. Where did he learn to say that? From Mark chapter 5, from Jesus. Because again, ministry is caught more than taught. This is why we need to not only see the examples of the disciples and apostles in the book of Acts and the rest of the New Testament, but hey folks, you and I need to learn from one another. This is why I praise God that we can gather here as a church collective. Because if we're just watching videos on YouTube, just sitting at home reading our Bible, and just listening to messages from afar, what happens to the learning curve? Way down. You think the devil knows that? Yes. So praise God that we can continue together. Let's pray that also the other churches in New York City can open up and the body of Christ can be what she's designed to be. That we are the pillar and ground of the truth, as Paul wrote in 1 Timothy. And that you and I need to not forsake the assembling together, the gathering of the saints, so that we can do what? We can encourage one another. And so much more as we see that day approaching. And that we can stir up love and good works. Hard to do that behind a computer screen. Now, I can say that with confidence because I'm a computer techie, nerdy, geeky guy. Kind of. Ish. Okay. But I love the tech. I study it, know it well, use it, even in marketing and so forth. But I gotta realize, ain't nothing like coming together and being with one another, being able to actually, you know, lay hands on one another and pray for each other, right? Or even like Peter saw, to be able to see ministry exemplified. Imagine if it was like how it is now. Imagine if it was like it was with Jesus 2,000 years ago. Now, Peter, James, and John, you can't come in the house. Everybody stay outside. Because we got to all be distanced. Now, I know we have to, you know, be careful and so forth. But what I am saying is there is something about seeing ministry exemplified, not just hearing it and not just watching it on a video, but being here. Thank you guys for coming in. Gracias. Muchas gracias. For all of you. Thank you for coming in. For having the faith to be able to come and gather as we're commanded by the Lord. So that we can see ministry being exemplified. God willing, maybe I could be even used by the Lord. But it's not just me. This is the body of Christ. And God wants to see each of you exemplify. So I'm going to close in just a little bit. And I want to ask that if any of you need prayer, that we can simply pray for one another. And not go to church, but be the church collectively. Where we could pray for one another. And hey, maybe you're sitting there thinking, I don't know how to pray. Well, just like we're learning, ministry is caught more than taught. Stick around. Listen to other people praying. Watch how they do. See what they do. Again, these are things you can't learn from a video. These are things you can't just read in the book. It's more important, like Jesus said about discipleship in Matthew 28. He said, teaching them to observe. He didn't say teaching them just to read. He didn't say teaching them just to hear. Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And so Peter understood as he went to this area telling her, Tabitha, arise. He turns to the body. Imagine that. Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Peter understood, I don't know what I'm doing. But I do know someone that did it, and I simply have to have faith to walk it out. Because again, ministry is caught more than taught. Peter didn't learn this from going to a seminary or taking a class or even going through online learning or watching a YouTube video. I'm not going to knock those things. But that's in that 20% and under category. And dare I say, many of us that study how to learn, how to teach, and so forth, know that's probably closer to about 10% or less, right? So if you only read, you only watch, but you're not actually learning by doing or seeing things exemplified before you, you're not going to learn much. And so we know that Peter and Jesus, they understood, I have to do this. And then others saw Peter. We just don't know everything else because the Bible doesn't show everything else. In other words, maybe some were there to hear and to see what Peter had gone through. And they go, oh, maybe this is how I need to walk out my Christianity too. You see that? Praise God. This is why we need to exemplify, God willing, for one another, because ministry is caught more than taught. Verse 41, back to Acts 9, verse 41. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when she had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. Where did he learn that? Just like he learned from Jesus that he did with the 12-year-old child in Mark chapter 5. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Now, if God's going to use you in ministry, and if it truly is a gift of the Holy Spirit, you know that Peter had the gift of faith. You see it here, right? Whew, boy. May he continue to gift us with whatever gifts he wants to give us. But who does the Holy Spirit, third person of the Holy Trinity, point you to? To Jesus. I love how this is couched or phrased. It's not, wow, look at what that dude did. Let's go follow him. It was more purposed by the Lord, verse 42, that many would believe on the Lord. The one that did the miracle was not Peter. We even learn the scriptures, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's the Lord that does the work. He was empowered, filled by the Spirit, and his living water, God's Spirit poured through him with that spiritual gifting, the gifts of grace. It just happened to be that Peter was the right person at that right time. For that right moment. And as you are used by the Lord, empowered by the Spirit, what does he want you to do? To be used of him, powered by the Spirit, to point you to Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's a work of the Lord. So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon a tanner. I'm going to close with a word of prayer. And again, if any of you want prayer, maybe you want to know your gifting. Maybe you want to be empowered by the Lord. Maybe you want to exemplify it for others. Maybe you want to follow others' example and actually answer your calling with God. Whatever it is, if you want prayer and you're here, or prayer for something else, I'm going to ask after I'm done praying to close out this service, I'll ask for you to either raise your hand or stand where you are. And then we can gather around the individuals that want prayer, whether that's one of you, some of you, or all of you. We'll just pray for you, all right? So let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord. Yes, we know that ministry is caught more than taught. And we thank you, Lord, that you give us these great examples that we could even learn from. That Peter and James and John, they were there in Mark chapter 5. They saw you raise this child from the dead. And then we get to learn here in Acts chapter 9 where Peter exemplified, he mimicked, he copied your example. And we know that we need to learn from one another. And we know, Lord, that we can't learn just by reading, but it's a learning by doing. So we ask for your empowerment right here and now, Lord. Help us simply to minister to one another, to encourage one another, to pray for each other. But we need the empowerment that comes from you, from heaven. Father, we pray to you in the name of Jesus, your Son, our Savior, who we confess died for our sins. And as the Lord of our lives, we ask that you would empower us, give us that power from heaven, the spiritual gifting that only you can give, that we can simply stand and walk with you in this city, but also serve you by serving one another. Help us, Lord, and help us to exemplify to one another as well, just like we learned today. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen.